If only in my dream.
Oh. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this Saturday evening, Christmas. Last Saturday before Christmas. Last Saturday of the old year, 2020. The dumbest year. The most stupidest year there was. But a necessary one at that. There was no doubt about it. We had to walk through this doorway. We had to walk through, and we have a lot more walking to do. All right, so I have some friends, some family, and I want to introduce you to everybody. You know everybody here tonight. Anthony is hanging out to my left. There's Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And then, of course, across the room, we have Matt. Matt.
Hello.
Matt, you're very, very nervous about what life has in store for you over the next couple of days and weeks.
This is the deciding factor. The next couple of weeks is the deciding factor of the future of my life.
And then, of course, to the left of Matt is our cousin Sherry. What's going on, Sherry?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How was your experience this fall so far?
Oh, my God. It's been... bad. I'm just going to say bad.
Okay.
But good. I mean, I'm hopeful. Very hopeful.
It's tumultuous.
Stressful. Very. I'm trying not to be stressed, but how could you put all this away?
You know the thing that gets me, guys? That when I think back to maybe like 2025, all right, 2025, 2005, when I think about that, When we would all get together and watch Sopranos or something like that, if there was a really, really, heartbreaking or some kind of a season finale of a HBO thing that we're listening to or watching that threw us for a loop, you say, holy shit, wow, that stuck with us. And that would be the thing that would ruin a week or something like that. Oh, man, what happened on The Sopranos last week or this and that? To think about how petty everything in our lives really were.
Although I recently had a TV show ruin. It's been a week now, and it's sticking with me. It's the American Horror Show. Is that what it's called? American Horror Story?
Horror Story, yeah.
Yeah, the most recent season with the nuclear bombs going off.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that.
No, you don't.
No.
You know, and there's been a lot of that stuff that used to seem like really outlandish post-apocalyptic stories. You start thinking, oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but
of course,
I've been afraid of that since I was a little kid, though. You know, I'm of the age where that TV show, the Day After, something like that, that scared the hell out of us in middle school, I think I was in.
What's it called?
The Day After, the Morning After. I don't think it was the Morning After. That's a pill.
That's a pill.
I think it's called The Day After. And it was about a nuclear bomb that went off in Kansas. And everybody talked about it the next day in school, you know. And I was...
It's always the middle of America.
It was that time. It was that time. And Reagan was... They were always talking about who had how many bombs. And I was every night I would just pray. I would think of everything that could happen, and I would pray it wouldn't happen.
You know,
I was bad.
Well, they shoved it down your throat. It's,
yeah.
It's been one phase after another. They have, I heard that they were redoing The Stand. The Stand is coming back out for television.
Oof. Yeah, okay.
I won't be watching it. They cast. I think it looks like Whoopi Goldberg as what's her name? The Oracle.
Should be great.
I forgot about.
She's got to go.
I just don't. But Kansas, once again, you're talking about the middle of America. That's where a lot of biological stuff.
Well, they had to scare everyone equally.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They picked the middle.
You know, isolating. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But here, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, what we have going on this 19th of Saturday. First of all, it's a tradition that we all have a Christmas cocktail picked out every year for at least the last couple of years.
I haven't tried this yet. I figured everyone was going to wait till everyone took a sip.
Well,
you've already been drinking it.
I took little sips.
Oh, all right.
I took little sips.
Well, there we go.
Now
I drank most of it.
That's it? Well, I...
Got me fucked up.
No, let me tell you about this. It's a tradition. Of course, at home, you could enjoy whatever the hell you want or nothing at all. And coffee, tea, juice, water, rice pudding. It doesn't matter to me. But our drink of the evening.
Take a nice sip of your rice pudding.
And the sponsors, it's actually sponsored by a friend of the show. And I want to shout out Gabriela Espinoza. She's a viewer of the show who actually makes the bitters that are inside of this wonderful cocktail. And this is what we're drinking tonight.
Wow.
I'm putting it up on the screen here. It's a cranberry cocktail for everybody who wants to make it for the rest of the holiday extravaganzas that you might have planned. 4 fresh cranberries, 1.5-inch orange peel, 4 ounces of cranberry juice, 1.5 ounces of, we got the 1776 bourbon over here, 2 ounces of soda water, and 3 droppers of orange bitters from Columbia Bitters Company at columbiabitters.com. Now, why is this so important? Because it's not just bitters. It's infused with CBD as well. So you're going to get that overall feeling of, nice, nice relaxedness.
Yeah, and I'm smoking,
too. And instead of 1 and 1.5 ounce of bourbon, a whole cup of bourbon on top of it.
Oh, that's great. So then you have it.
There's a spelling error in that. I just want to say.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, orange.
Yeah.
Yes, I see that right now. Okay.
Wait, what?
There's a spelling error in the cocktail.
Orange peel.
Yes. 1.5-inch orange peel. Thank God I didn't spend the whole day looking for an orange.
Wait, who made this?
This came from Columbia. It came from Columbia Bitters Company.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, they got to fix that.
Well, I mean, I don't think that they're going to confuse too many people. Like I said,
it doesn't matter.
Cinderella.
People know what it means. Orange.
That's that. So that's what we're having here tonight. Oh, I don't know. We're going to take a lot of calls, and we're going to be hanging out with everybody at home and just seeing how everybody's feeling about whatever. So that's underway. Now, the call-in number, of course, is 914-595-6953, or the Discord you can jump on into. You can start those whenever the hell you want, because we're just going to be hanging. First things first, Matt, we haven't done this all year yet. Okay. George Washington's eggnog. Okay?
Yeah.
George Washington's eggnog. Now, this is something I really hope that next year we can get around to actually putting together. But it's going to take a little bit of time. Because listen to what goes into this eggnog recipe that George Washington himself was a big fan of. And he created it. Listen to this. You ready? Here we have it. Oh, damn it. I can't click on through to that. What the hell, man?
What happened?
Hold on. Wait. Ingredients. Open it up. Damn it. Here you have it. Okay, ready? 1 pint of brandy. 1 pint of brandy. 1 pint of rye. Half a pint of rye whiskey. 1/2 pint of Jamaican rum. 1/4 pint of sherry wine. 12 eggs. They have to be separated.
That's good protein. So you get your protein in there.
Yes. Protein in there as well. So this is good for after a workout.
Or before.
And then you have 12 tablespoons of sugar, 1 quart of milk, and 1 quart of heavy cream. It's very easy on the arteries as well. So now, here's the directions. First, you have to mix the liquor. You separate the yolks, whites, and all that stuff. You add sugar to the beaten yolks and mix well. Now, as we pointed out last year, the way that Washington beat the eggs was physically with his fists. So you need to be able to beat this. You need to use your fists for this. He stood over the bowl punching the eggs with great disdain for their weakness. Add combined liquors to the yolk and a sugar mix drop by drop at first and slowly beating it all the while. You have to continue only with the fist. Add cream and milk and mix thoroughly. Beat the egg whites until stiff and dead, until they're completely dead. and gently fold these into cream liquor and yolk mixture. So there you have it. Then you let this sit in a refrigerator for several days.
So 7 days.
Several. Not necessarily. I used to think that several meant seven.
Me too.
Really?
Yes.
Several, seven.
I like it.
I thought that several meant seven, now, up until maybe like 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Well, you think you have one, a couple is two.
Well, why would you say several when you can just say seven if it meant the same thing?
I don't know. I never questioned it.
Right.
I just accepted it into my heart. And you had, because a couple is two, of course, a few is three.
Mm-hmm.
A handful, I would have to imagine, covers 4 to 5. A large handful is 6 to 7.
A few is no, 4.
Six. Several is 7.
Because then several kicks in.
A few is 4.
A few could be 3 to 4.
No, a few is 4.
Then what's 3?
I'd say 3 is a few.
No, it's 4.
What's 3?
3 is 3.
That's it.
The power of 3.
It's 1, a couple, 3, a few, a handful,
mm-hmm.
and then several.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the handful would have to be 5 to 6 then. A several kicks in at 7.
What's 13?
13.
Baker's dozen.
A baker's dozen, yes. Then you have a dozen at 12. So what's 11?
11 is 11.
It's a leveral.
It doesn't... It could be a leveral.
A leveral.
It could be a leveral.
So, but, you know, then I learned that 3 is actually like several. 3 to 4 is like several of them.
Three to four is...
Several
a few.
Is a few.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way that I always thought about it. But
I always thought several started at 7.
No, several means 7. A few means 4.
Speaking of, Matt, you met George Washington recently.
I did.
In Washington, D.C.?
I did meet George Washington in D.C. at the Trump rally.
This is the text message that he sent us.
Yep.
There you have it.
Yep.
Look at that.
He said, "Yo, guys, I met George Washington and I have proof." And there you are with George Washington.
There it is.
Mm.
Now, there's a guy in the background, this guy with the what is it, there's a black Trump hoodie that he's wearing. He looks really jealous that you're taking a picture with General Washington.
He's mad because I'm friends with George Washington.
That's so far away to be trolling.
So what did you do, how was your experience at the last Trump rally?
It was good, man. There was a lot of people, a lot of people stayed out after dark this time.
Looking for fights?
Looking for Antifa, and they were nowhere. We found them at one point, actually, and it was just me and Mike. We're going to walk back to my hotel, and we came, and they were blocked off. And I don't know if you ever saw, it was an interview on BBC where the dude interviewed an Antifa member, and he interviewed a Proud Boy. Well, it was the Antifa member that in that interview, he had a megaphone, and he told the cops, he saw me and Mike, he's like, "Watch out for these two guys." And I'm like, "What are you fucking, there's like 300 of you, you're talking about two guys." I'm like, "Yeah, all right." He's like, "Well, fuck," he started screaming or
whatever.
"Watch
out for these two guys."
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, "You're worried about two guys." And then, you know, we walked away, the police came, it's the police line, and we started walking away, and they're like, "Yeah, walk away, bitches, you bitches, this and that, fuck Trump, blah, 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 blah." Other than that, they were, like, nowhere to be found. They were behind the cops at that time, so I guess we're trying to get around to get to them,
yeah.
But it was just, they really blocked it off.
Well, the way that Mike was talking about it, he said that there was this weird... It was a very easily trackable pattern where Antifa runs on in, the cops push them on, they get any kind of pushback, they run away, the cops get in between you, and then they taunt you from the other side of the cops.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, that happened a few times, and when it did, it wasn't like the last time I went to D.C. When that happened, it was like a bunch of them. This would just be like maybe 3 or 4 of them at once. The last time I went in November, it was like a fucking group of them that would end up with that happening.
Hey, Sherry.
Always videotaping when they do that? Are there always people getting the interaction on tape?
Oh, yeah. On both sides, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why sometimes even our side, they do some things to some people that you should just let them talk their stupid shit and let them walk by because it's not good for optics.
Yeah, no, it's not. Well, listen, that's why I don't join groups. Yeah. I don't...
Yeah, I mean, like, fighting people that are in black you know, the black uniforms Antifa wears, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, if there's like a gay person walking by and if they just talk some shit, if they're by themselves, just let them go.
It's not attractive to me at all, the entire experience. I mean, I don't know. Is there anything that would take you down to D.C. these days, Sherry?
I want to go. I do. I just, I don't know. I haven't done it because I don't have a group of people to go with. I don't want to just show up alone.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
I drove
not a whole lot of Trump
myself.
Supporters in my life. Yeah.
If there was ever going to be allowed to be a clean election, and Trump got easily reelected as we knew it was going to be, if not for interference, I was going to certainly show up to that inauguration, but
There'll be like a rally here too for that.
I'm not going anywhere now because this is such uncharted
Mm-mm.
territory
yeah.
that this is nowhere, no way in hell. However the hell this is going to be resolved, it's not going to hinge on whether or not I show up for the inauguration. I'm just sitting back and I'm watching whatever the hell happens, good, bad, or ugly.
You can say that.
And it might be a combination of all three. Who knows?
What if George Washington wanted to stay home, Francis?
I don't know.
He's got a show to do.
Me?
He's got people to inform.
George Washington had higher duties.
George Washington actually may have had some interactions with aliens.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
I did hear about that.
What is that about?
I'm going to take some calls right after I get through this. Listen to this. Here's George Washington in a world of weirdness. This was published on the 11th on Mysterious Universe. I like this website. A lot of interesting stuff to read. The American political leader, military general, statesman known as George Washington, perhaps needs no introduction. As a founding father and the first president of the United States and major player in the victory of the Patriots during the War for Independence, as well as the instrumental in the creation of the U.S. Constitution, he is one of the most instantly recognizable figures in history, called the father of his country, and considered to be one of the greatest American presidents who ever lived. Now, there's a lot of weird incidents we will look into here, supposedly occurred at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, during the Revolutionary War, where in 1777, Washington was serving as a commander of a weary and worn army of addled, battle-beaten troops during a frigid winter. During this time, Washington allegedly dictated to one of his officers about how he sometimes consorted with what he calls the Greenskins. Okay?
Okay.
Who were described as somewhat short warriors with green skin that would come to him from the trees some evenings to speak with him. Okay, Washington related that these green-skinned warriors lived in the wilderness within a great glowing orb that would move from place to place or even hover at times. These mysterious strangers would apparently give Washington all manner of tactical information on the enemy and advice on how to approach battles, and he purportedly credited them with being very insightful and instrumental to victory.
Who wrote this?
He's fucking with everybody. That's
who
what
wrote
he's doing.
This?
George Washington wrote this.
No, he did not. It was the fucking spy ring that he got his information from.
Who were these greenskins? It has been suggested that Washington at the time likely thought them to be merely an exotic tribe of Indians wearing green war paint. Their home, an animal skin tent that looked around from a distance and merely glowed from the firelight within. Yet in later years, it has been speculated that these might have actually been extraterrestrials. Scottish historian Quentin Byrd has claimed to have seen lost passages from Washington himself. From the day book, he claims to have seen them. Where the passages went afterwards, I don't know. From the day book, the general dictated his military secretary practically every day, which also described his interactions with the Greenskins and their glowing orb. And it seemed that Washington often mentioned the orb being in different places or disappearing altogether. And here's what he says. Byrd has taken this to mean that it was a possible UFO, saying the following. The unusual interpretation is that the glowing orb is a rounded lodge, made of animal skins that glowed from firelight inside. Until now, historians have assumed Washington was referring to a tribe.
Oh, they were glowing, all right.
Yeah.
They were glowing.
He, Washington, probably thought he was talking with an extremely talented Indian war chief or a medicine man with powers bordering on the magical. But it's also strange that sometimes the globe is behind Washington's head and sometimes it's not. So what does this mean, guys? What does it all mean?
Oh, maybe he did shrooms a lot.
Yes. No, here's another one. One of the weirder tales involved George Washington happening not during his life, but rather after his death. And that was Washington's demise. He became at 1777, he died. he came down with a sore throat and a fever. His condition worsened, and then, of course, I think it was pneumonia.
1977?
No, actually, he died from the bloodletting.
But, either way, this got on into
the... I hope whoever performed that to him, I hope they executed him.
Those are the allopathic medicine men at the time.
Well...
Those are the surgery... The surgery and drugs kind of guys. On the other side of the holistic side of medicine.
Whoever was in the room once George Washington died should have looked at him and like
the bloodletters.
Fucked up. He fucked up.
The 18th really? And 17th century bloodletters. Those were the
barbers, right?
Yep. Yeah. I was just gonna say that barbers. There were surgeons. There were dentistry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy, bro. And like cocaine was medicine.
That's it.
Our grandfather had a woman down the road do his tonsils with her fingernail.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So, and that wasn't, you know.
Did what?
That was the early 1900s.
Jesus.
Did what to his tonsils?
Took his tonsils out.
With a fingernail?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Grandpa had his tonsils removed by a woman in a home, in like a,
with
an
apartment? A long fingernail. I had to interview him for my 6th grade family tree project. That was one of the stories I had in there.
I don't even know how the hell that works. How do you remove tonsils with a fingernail?
You can see tonsils. I know what they look like. Dave had tonsils until he was an adult. And so I guess she had a good eye and a long fingernail.
Yeah. Maybe she sharpened it a little? Well, maybe after she...
She did everyone's tonsils. She was the lady.
Are they connected to anything? You can just like literally take them out, right?
Yeah, it's like two extra pieces of skin. You just gotta.
I have no.
I mean, I don't know
how the hell that's possible. I have never heard this before.
Shit, I would have her take mine out because I get tonsillitis all the time. I didn't get it this year though.
I don't know why it gets more dangerous of a procedure as you get older.
It's bad when you get older. It hurts for a long time.
It's supposedly, and it can like threaten your life in some cases.
Really?
Oh.
Like if you're going to get your tonsils, I had my tonsils and my adenoids removed when I was in 2nd grade.
Me too.
You got to do that then.
Well, my life is already highly threatened.
Well, yeah, because you're waiting to see what the result of the election is finally going to be. Because then you...
Are you really becoming a Proud Boy? You want to?
I'm waiting.
Oh, it's an official thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You gotta go through a couple processes.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you still have that? You still have that interview with Grandpa anywhere?
I have the report. I'm sure. I gotta ask my mom if she still got it.
I wonder if he especially if it was done at a young age. Maybe he just didn't even understand what was done to him either.
Maybe
it was somebody that was in the neighborhood, but it couldn't have been only with her fingernails.
Gotta ask your mom about this story.
She's never mentioned it in my life. This is so new.
Mm.
Okay, let's take some calls. 914-595-6953. Have you seen the Greenskins? Did you ever have a body part removed by a woman with her fingernails? 914-595-6953. Merry Christmas to everybody. How we feeling there tonight? Over to the Discord. Anybody there? First one up is Zach from Indiana. What's going on, Zach? Zach, how you doing?
Hey, who am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I must be lagging on my TV. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. So, a couple things. Number one, your buddy that's in there talking about being on Proud Boys, I'd like to know how to get some information on that. How do you join the Proud Boys? I'd love to be part of it.
You got to go on the website and send an email. Then you have to, there's a couple things you have to do.
You have to go to the All website right. and yeah. just fill out the, I don't know. He's there's All a right. there's
I'll
I think there's I think there's a pop culture questionnaire that's a part of it.
No, it's not like anything like that. You just have to you just have to recite something. It's not racist or anything. I'm just not gonna say it. What
hey,
it is.
Those of us that are trying to stand our ground here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
but
no.
hey, Frank, why I really called is like you, Red Pill, We the People Insider, and then Tracy tweeted today about what if 80 million, you know, deplorables showed up in D.C. I don't know if you guys realize how much your reach is, but if you guys called on your followers to show up somewhere, I'm telling you, you guys have enough pull that we would come. So if, you know, I read today on Twitter, Trump's calling for people to come out on January 6th.
I saw that.
But if you guys teamed up, I mean, your following, everybody would jump on board between everybody that you're connected to, and I think we can really make a difference, you know, so.
Well, I mean, I appreciate the vote of confidence that you think that I could contribute to any kind of something like that, but I was talking very, very jealously about the last, not the last one, the one before that, the one right, the first gathering in, it was the Million Man March, the first one after the election. I was jealous of the crowds there, and I couldn't go, and I was, we were paying attention to it. I didn't have anything really to do with people going on out there. So obviously people are a lot more motivated than you think, and yeah, I don't think that you need to join a group in particular or be a formal member of one thing or another to just to be concerned about what's going on in your homeland enough to go on out and represent yourself and the interests of liberty. So I think that's what really is crossing a lot of different boundaries here, because you know, out of the 500,000 plus people who were at that first MAGA march, I would have to imagine that only maybe a thousand or so identified as Proud Boys. So it really is just
the Proud Boy. I'm sorry. The Proud Boys thing was a joke. I was just
bringing it on in for it. Yeah.
I watched you when you live streamed on that impromptu Trump rally that was in your neck of the woods, and you were so surprised by how many people showed up. And I'm just saying, I think between you, Tracy, and the people, you know, Zach and everybody else, if it came down to us needing to go out and make a statement, I really think you guys have the audience and the voice that, you know, if we need to go out and make a stand, whether it's in Georgia or in Arizona, kind of like Bannon's War Room, I mean, they kind of tell you the direction that they want you to go. I feel like you have that same pull. So I'm not trying to, like I said, I understand, Zach. Go ahead.
You
have a far-reaching audience, so
I appreciate that.
And a lot of people would like to hang out with you guys too. So if you ever did a group meetup, I think that would be a great thing too.
That is something, and thank you for the call, Zach, and Merry Christmas. That is something I would love to do one day, because that just seems fun. And depending on what is, maybe it's part of some kind of a festival we put together or something like that. One day where we get ourselves a nice little Woodstock kind of an area in a rolling plane somewhere. Wouldn't that be awesome, Sherry?
That'd be great.
And we got just get music, and it's just awesome. That would be something I totally would love to be a part of.
I never see you calling on your audience for anything. You don't do that.
No.
A lot of people do.
I know, and whatever people do is fine.
Oh, it's cool, but yeah, it just occurred to me that you don't do that.
No. Because you know what? I think that everything is self-evident, and all I do say is that just do, look, for example, November 3rd, did we not all do everything that was in our power to be done? We went on, everybody went out in force, wherever they lived in all 50 states, and they showed up to vote. And And from there on in, I mean, it's great to show up and to show solidarity whenever you have a chance, if it's possible for you to do so. But I think we proved everything we needed to prove this year. So the powers that need to act now is not ours.
Yeah, if the administration's telling their employees to stay home or to go home, maybe you don't go to Washington right now.
I mean, hey, that's what I'm thinking there. So, but one day that would be awesome to have something like a Woodstock.
That'd be so much fun.
Like Wayne Stock, I could do Frankly Stock one day.
Frank Stock,
that would be fun, man. We can get some really awesome bands. Set the Charge would play. Not that we're awesome. We would be the shittiest band there, but it would be awesome. It'd be fun. Who the hell knows?
Now, your fans have to take it amongst themselves to go see you play next time you have a show.
Yeah, next time we're all out of the house.
They can always do that.
Yeah. Well, the Tuesday night, people are going to be able to watch a live show just from home. But I can't wait to actually be at a venue setting up the drums again on a stage before doors open. I love that kind of like beer-soaked wood paneling smell of a rock joint again. I don't know.
It's been 2022, bro.
It's going to be a while. No, yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. I don't know.
China.
Bill Gates says like 2023.
Bill Gates.
Oh, did you see what Fauci did take a look at this before I'm going to take a couple more calls. Hold on. Look at this. That Anthony Fauci bastard, he goes on CNN to pander with, I guess this is Sesame Street characters.
No way.
I think it's Sesame Street. Yeah, CNN Sesame Street. And they're talking about whether or not it's, you know, is Santa going to spread coronavirus to everybody by going house to house? Listen to how, oh, God. And he's up there with Sanjay Gupta again. Listen to this.
And Elmo is back for something else that I think is on a lot of kids' minds.
Elmo's friend has
And there's Elmo with a face mask. Elmo with a face mask. Okay, listen to this.
Question about Santa Claus.
How did Santa get the vaccine? And is it safe for him to go in the house?
Oh, God, these poor children.
How can Santa Claus safely give out presents with COVID-19 spreading everywhere?
I thought the kid was having a fit.
How can you do it?
Will Santa still be able to visit me in coronavirus season? What if he can't go to anyone's house or near his reindeer?
Well, I have to say I took care of that for you because I was worried that you'd all be upset. So what I did a little while ago, I took a trip up there to the North Pole. I went there and I vaccinated Santa Claus myself.
Oh my God.
What an egomaniac.
Community, and he is good to go.
There you go. Anthony Fauci saved Christmas.
Oh.
It would have been the actual year without a Santa Claus. But thank God for Anthony Fauci.
Wow.
Santa Claus is St. Nicholas. He's holy. He doesn't get fucking viruses.
Right. I know. He's magical. He does it the same way he goes down a chimney.
Wow. I mean, my God. The balls.
I know. Who would have thought?
The balls. Let's take a call from Mindy. What's going on, Mindy?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, Mindy? You got to turn off the stream in the background. Everybody turn off the stream before you call in. And there you go, Mindy. Go ahead.
Thank you. How's everybody doing? Hi, Sherry. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
And then the other guy. What's the other guy's name?
Anthony. But Anthony's Anthony's distracted
Anthony.
Tonight. Yeah, he's not even in the room anymore.
Where did
I
go?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead.
I just didn't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah.
Fauci needs to go to the North Pole and stay there.
And stay there.
But anyway.
he needs to...
I just wanted to say hey.
Fauci's got to go to the North Pole and find the entrance to the Hollow Earth. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah.
And just stay there with the woolly mammoth.
Fall in it. There you go. I'm so happy to say, hey, I love your stream, and you guys make me just, you make this time easier. I just,
You do, Frank.
Thank you so much. And remember, my my daughter's name is Lauren, my favorite child that you're not supposed to tell anyone.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully the rest of the kids aren't listening tonight.
I know. Well, I called last year when you talked about Lolo. My daughter's name is Lolo.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just want to say hey, and I really appreciate you guys. And Fauci makes me want to puke in my mouth.
Oh God, I know. You just feel it creeping up. You know what it is? It's great, Mindy. I love that we're getting into this new phase of the show when we do these little. You gotta turn that down. You're killing me over here, Mindy.
What did I do? Oh, it's my speak.
Yes.
It killed me now.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry.
Well, either way, I like that we're getting into this phase of the show where so many years have already gone by, and now we have people calling in remembering other Christmas broadcasts and things like that. What was the cocktail that we made last year, Sherry? You were
there
here.
There was a few. We had like three, I think.
Well, it was almost like a White Russian kind of a thing.
Oh yeah, that was so good. It was. I don't remember though.
Yeah. Well, what's Dave doing tonight?
He's home.
Did he not want to come?
He's working on. He worked late tonight, and he only gets one day off a week, so she's really tired.
Well, listen, I'm very tired too. The baby didn't sleep that well last. Well, she did, but she started waking up, and you know, every 45 minutes around 4:45, 5.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, slept great until about 5 o'clock. And then it was like, please, we just want to cap this night off, please. Thank you for the call, Mindy. Merry Christmas to you and to your favorite.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Yes, that's right.
Bye.
Not, you know, the other kids got to work harder. They have to work harder. Call in 914-595-6953. I'm checking out everything that's going on. We see you all. We're doing all. So we did a little bit of Fauci over here.
I really hate him. I look at him, though, and I feel like he's a woman.
There's something going on.
There's that thing. And I kind of believe the whole transvestigation thing. I see all these people, and I can see in so many women in Hollywood these masculine features, and in him, there's nothing masculine about him.
It's all energetic to me.
Mm.
I feel like one day everybody's going to just take a mask off, like Doc Brown in whatchamacallit, Back to the Future 2. Hey, Doug, what's going on, Doug?
Well, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, it's so good to see you, bro.
Yeah. So the Washington story, you said it is a true story. They left one key component out, though.
What is that?
He only saw the little green men after he drank absinthe.
Ah, now
there
now,
you go.
when was absinthe? Where did absinthe? Is that a Netherlands thing? Where did absinthe actually get formulated for the first time?
I want to say it's France.
Okay. And how old is it? Is it possible to have had George Washington hallucinating at Valley Forge, or is that a newer spirit than the 18th century?
Well, George Washington knew a little bit about everything, so according to Matt. So I'm pretty sure that he brewed his own.
He made his own absinthe.
Right there with they wanted to be able to bring up the lift the spirits of all of the soldiers there. You know, that was a really rough winter.
There you go. Hey, can I do one apology real quick?
Oh, go ahead, Doug. You can do an apology. You can do whatever the hell you want.
So every year on January 1st, I always eat a special meal. And last year, well, the beginning of this year, I couldn't get the recipe for it. So I said, you know what? What's the worst that could happen? So 2020 is because of me. Everything that happened in 2020 is definitely because of I did not eat my special meal.
What did you? What's the special meal? What's the special meal?
It is corned beef and cabbage.
And that's the New Year's tradition?
That is a New Year's tradition, and this was the first year in my life that I did not have it. So you could definitely blame 2020 on me.
I thought it was because I didn't shake my ornament last year that has a little walnut inside, and it's an angel, and I shake it and make a wish every year.
So it's both of you guys.
Didn't do it last year.
It's Doug and Sherry. They screwed up this year for us.
So yep. sorry. So sorry.
So it all
believe came, me, I suffered as well.
It came down to, it came down to it, an ornament, and it came down to corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
And here we were thinking, oh, man. It all started.
Virus, yeah. No.
This year actually really started on New Year's Eve when we heard about the that the embassy raid in Iraq. Of course, Doug, you know all about that.
Yes.
You know, being dialed in with all that stuff in your line of work, but you know, before you go, so obviously on the 1st of January 2021, you're going to be having your corned beef and cabbage. What are your What are your hopes and dreams for the new year?
Believe it or not, I am not a Biden supporter. So hopefully the Donald Trump will take it over and keep on kicking ass.
I love the call, Doug, and send my best to Nancy and everybody else.
I definitely will. Definitely will.
All right, brother. Thank you for the call. Merry Christmas.
Later, brother. Y'all have a great evening.
All right, bye. Take care. To see the sunlight, because of course he's on the other side of the planet. But
where is he?
I think he's on the border of Asia and Europe.
Oh.
So he's around that Mediterranean Turkey area. So we have friends all over the world now.
So corned beef and cabbage.
Corned beef and cabbage.
Okay.
I don't think I don't know if I broke any traditions this year. Traditions were broken for us in ways,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
but let's
yeah.
take another
Every
call.
Tradition.
Airborne 99, you're on. What's up?
Hey, Frank, how's it going?
Going well. Merry Christmas. Give us some good tidings.
Okay, well, I've got three things about China to talk about. I could do it really quick.
Okay, very quick, because I don't want to get too deep into the weeds with this kind of stuff tonight.
Oh, okay. What were you? I mean, we've been watching. I mean, kind of about the election.
Oh yeah, I know it's coming up. But as far as China, do we start going? Okay. Well, what do you think? What do you think about this then? If you're bringing up China, let me ask you this, Airborne. We thought that the Three Gorges Dam was going to bust like 3 months ago, and it's held up. What do you think's going on there?
Oh man, I have absolutely no clue about that.
Oh, okay. Well,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
What
dam is that? That's what I want to talk about, stuff people forgot about.
Okay, well, then, you know what? Lay it on us real quick.
Okay, real quick. April of 2015, OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, got hacked by China. Everyone that applied for a government job that filled out a security clearance, an SF-86, that got compromised by China. No one's talking about that right now.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah, okay. Go ahead, keep going.
Okay, no one's talking about the Equifax hack that happened in 2017.
Well,
China.
So, I didn't even know how, I didn't even know that was China-related.
Yep. And so, last thing, retired Brigadier General Robert Spalding wrote a book, Stealth War. It was published in October 2019. He went to all the think tanks in D.C. His job in the Air Force was all about China. He was an expert in China for 30 years. He went to all the think tanks and said, hey, we need to do a study on the influence that China has in the United States. And they all said, hey, Robert, that's a great idea, but we're already doing business with the CCP. So those are three things that I haven't really seen at all anywhere. Just wanted to put it out there. Thank you, Frank, for everything you do, and Merry Christmas, brother.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Airborne. You know, I think that the greatest thing that he drives home right there is, once again, every couple of weeks, we forget what was tying us up weeks and months and years before that. Things that are still very dire subjects. And
nobody talks about Mike Pompeo. I mean, that's something that everybody should be thinking about every day, which governor is in bed with the Chinese.
I know. Governors.
Yeah. He said, we have a list, we know. And that just stuck with me. I never forget about that.
There's a lot of talk of coordination, intra-agency coordination for whatever the hell is about to be done with this executive order. And, of course, Lin Wood and everybody else that is working at the level that he is at, they are just, at this point, they're done making the case and they're just trying to lead the country in prayer for whatever the hell needs to happen next. I don't know. It's pretty incredible stuff. And Matt is just one every day. Matt is wondering whether or not he's going to have to kill himself.
Torturing me.
Don't do it, Matt.
Just don't do it. Don't do it. 914-595-6953-336. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tyler Rubel.
Tyler, what's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much. I was just going to see what stories you guys have for the first time getting stoned and the best stories about getting stoned.
First time, okay, well, let me see here. Well, thank you for the call, Tyler. Let me see. Matt, do you remember the first time you got stoned?
Yeah.
What was it?
We're smoking at, you know those buildings near the arbors, those office buildings?
I think so.
In
I
the
think
parking
so.
Lot. And I just smoked. I got really fucked up. Like, I remember someone asking me what time I had to go home. I think I said like 13 o'clock.
13 o'clock.
Some shit like that.
So 1 a.m.
Yeah.
No, that would be 1 p.m. 13. 13 would be 1 p.m. I don't know. I really don't remember it. I think it's I actually think it didn't work. You know how they'll always say the first time didn't work for them or whatever? I don't know. And it was just like in high school, we tried a little bit, and then for like 6 or 7 years I didn't have any interest in it at all, and then you know, just became a little casual thing. Mm-hmm. And of course, everybody thinks that when we pack hookah, they think that this is spiked with something. It's not. If I would be comatose right now if this was spiked with something. But
seventh grade in the back of a van with my older cousin and his friends, and I was stoned out of my mind. And my uncle, this is in New Hampshire, and my uncle opened up the back of the van and took me and my cousin that was my age, brought us inside, and
oh, no.
Then watched us pull out a convertible bed, watched us make the bed, which we didn't know how to do.
Oh, man. Well, so
it was traumatizing.
I was going to say, was it uncomfortable? Oh. Because there's been some real bad ones. The one before... Halloween, just this past Halloween, when John Ward came in.
It was a
Saturday night show that we did here on in October. It was the Friday night before. Aurora had gone to bed with Lauren. She was knocked out cold. I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be wonderful. Everybody's going to get some sleep. So what did I do? I wanted to celebrate a little bit. I took a little bit of a nibble off the end of a chocolate edible that someone had left me a while ago, and I'd never touched the thing, but I said, you know what, tonight seems like I'm just going to take a nibble off the edge. And I didn't know how densely packed the chocolate was, and I actually bit off about maybe close to 40 milligrams, and that I did not go to sleep all night. And all night I was trying to convince myself that my organs were not failing. And
I'm the same way.
It's not one of those things that's very, very fun. You need to be in a certain kind of carefree mentality, and I'm more and more stressed these days. I can't really do it as much, so that's just the way it is. I like
that sounds like me just in a like just in some kind of public like concert or whatever, or just like in an auditorium where I'm in the middle seat. I'm constantly just trying to convince myself that my organs aren't failing.
I've done that a lot. The middle seat in a theater in the middle row is really just not a good place to be.
I can't. I have to be in the back by the so I can leave to go to the bathroom if I need to. That's my lifeline. I never take it, but the fact that I have it, the fact that I have that lifeline to go,
and aisles. Like if we're on a plane, I really do prefer aisle seats.
Oh, of course.
And always get the upgrade. I always get the upgrade.
I do too.
I want nothing. Just I want to be able to stretch my legs, even though I can't. Can you guys sleep on planes?
Yes.
I can't sleep on a plane.
Xanax.
Xanax?
Yeah.
I can't.
I have to. I can't.
No. It's really uncomfortable. I cannot do it. Maybe one day if I have enough. There's a place that we need to go to badly enough to get on a plane. And I've never flown a first class or anything that went full recline. I'm sure I could sleep.
That makes the whole difference. You got to get that upgrade.
Oh, I've never done that.
Oh, wow.
That's my problem.
Yeah, do it once. It only costs, if you do it at the gate, it only costs like $100, a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, next time we will. Let's take a call from Alan in South Carolina. What's going on, Alan?
God bless America.
God bless America.
Hell yeah.
What a great show. I'm sitting here looking at my Christmas tree, and I love you, Frank. I love you. You got a nice crew on there tonight. And I'm smoking a doobie. You know how I roll here in South Cadillac.
Are you contemplating your own existence? Because that's what I do.
No, I know why I exist. Just to make everybody happy and for me to be happy. Drinking me a little Voodoo Ranger. You know, whatever gets you through the day, folks. You know, my son came over today. He was real down in the mouth because he said that Las Vegas has paid out to Biden for the win. He was real down in the mouth. All his money's been taken out the bank that he bet on Trump. So what's y'all's thoughts on that? And I told him, I said, well, I guess you're going to have to get in line with the lawsuit because it's not over yet.
Right.
You know?
It's a little early for that, yeah.
Alan.
Yeah, but I told him, I said, wait to see what Las Vegas does. But then again, I said, well, I wonder if they're hanging out with the Tricoms and that sort of thing. But I don't want to get on the downer note, man. I got my Christmas tree up, and I got my lights on the outside. I got a tall toad here. I see Matt over there being nice and cool, and it's really nice to see y'all having a good time tonight. But we're just down here in South Carolina. We ready down here. We're not giving up for nobody. We're going to succeed just like we always have done.
Yeah. Well, you know, Alan, speaking of that, I know, and I don't know if you were watching it the other night, but I think it was after the Wednesday night show, maybe, or it wasn't the Thursday night show. I don't know. It was one of those two. Now, I put out a 15-minute video. Well, it wasn't my video. We replayed a 15-minute video of this guy. I forgot his name. He had an Irish accent. And he was breaking down what was going on with all the Las Vegas bets. And this one particular company was called Betfair. And that was, I think, overseas or something like that. And what happened was Betfair, they had already had a little bit of a problem paying out things early. I think they lost about $4 million in 2016 because of the Hillary Clinton certainties on out there. But this time,
right,
what they did was they not only went against their own rules in declaring the election over before Inauguration Day, because they're going by what's going on with the Constitution there, and so they're jumping the gun on the Constitution. But not only that, they kept betting open for like 2 or 3 weeks after Election Day, so all of the bets kept coming in, and it became something like a $2 billion pot for all these payouts there. And they're saying that they are looking at possibly, If justice is done here, this company Betfair will have to pay out $500 million, $500 million, in losses. That would be so.
They deserve it.
Oh, there's a lot of it going on here.
They would have to. You know, even my son said, "Well, they already pulled my money out." I said, "Well, that doesn't mean anything. They're going to have to pay you if they're wrong."
Especially, you would even have a claim if these companies were acting in bad faith while the election was officially not settled. I mean, it's being contested. There are dueling electors that have been cast, that have cast their votes. So there's a lot of things that are uncertain. It's just that there's a lot of people in these legacy corporate media that are all together just trying to, okay, we're all, you know, this is the reality, right? And they're trying to agree on something.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right,
Alan.
I understand that. That's really crazy. Yeah, well, anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Festivus for the rest of us. Keep on keeping strong, Frank. It's a great network on... I watch you. We got Klaus Hub now on our local Roku, but I can't see the shows yet. I don't know what's up. I had an announcement from the manager of Roku on this little TV screen, but that's all you get.
Watch it on Twitch.
So
don't worry. Soon we'll be back on Cloud Hub.
Klaus Hub down here in Charleston.
Oh, you will. And we're not even on Cloud Hub anymore right now. Soon, though, they're going to be launching a completely in-house video video platform soon. But thank you, Alan, and Merry Christmas to you. Yeah, this is what he's talking. I wonder how much Alan's son lost. But this is from Insider.com. Some people lost more than $100,000 betting that Trump would win and are citing election conspiracy theories to sue the bookies. Conspiracy theories. Yeah, I mean, Vegas, and remember the Chinese yuan. What was going on with the Chinese currency on election night? Everybody saw what was happening. And the Chinese yuan dipped. It just went straight a vertical drop.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, there's a lot of, but people saw it. People saw what was going on.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Some people bet that, but this is another reason why I would never put money on something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing. Let's see here. 914-595-6953. Here's a couple of questions from the Patreon. Then we'll go on a little bit of a break. Because we're only going until about midnight tonight. Saturday night Christmas special. This is from Megan. What is your absolute number one favorite, most heartwarming memory of Christmas for you? Sherry, let's start with you. Do you have one on the top of your head?
No, you got to let me think about that for a second.
Matt, do you have one?
Off the top of my head?
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay. Anthony, do you have one?
Heartwarming Christmas?
Yep.
I have no idea.
Well, I would have to imagine...
Every Christmas must have been heartwarming for you guys. I mean, with that display, that's got to be so much spirit.
Probably 1997. It was probably 1997 Christmas, just because... And it was mainly because of the decorations, and it was the family. I mean, there's big schisms in our family after 1997, too, so there's a lot less people showing up. 1997 was probably... The warmest, because it was a really raucous affair with all of the traffic that would come to see the decorations, and then just so many people in and out of the house. It was really nice. 1998 and 1999 got really shitey. So 97, that's what it was. And hopefully I'll be able to get some visuals for you guys, because we have all of our family Christmas, all of our family videos have been digitized, so I might be able to key some of that up next week.
Are you going to put that on the network?
Maybe.
That would be so cool.
Maybe a little bit. There's something still a little bit too, you know, I don't know.
No.
But speaking of interviewing grandparents and great-grandparents, I have some great interviews that I didn't conduct because it was done in 1984, the year before I was born, with my great-grandparents.
Oh, wow. So, that's nice.
Yeah, I learned a lot about listening to that. So I have a lot of things I want to put on the show in the months and the years to come, because we're going to need a lot of things to talk about to get focused on the good things in life, for sure. Let's take another call. 808, you're on the air. Who's this?
Ron Heller on the island of Kauai.
Hello there. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Well, I've been an avid listener for over a year now, introduced by my wife to you, and I totally love your program. You guys do an awesome job. And I just want you to know, we are in the westernmost part of the United States of America, and there are patriots out here every day standing in line with President Trump. And we are true patriots. And
that's so good to hear. Send them to Connecticut, please.
Well, we're out here, and I got to tell you, every Friday night, we gather on a little highway out here, and this is a totally blue state. And one of the things that has wakened up the people of Hawaii is, this is a blue state, but now we're all going, how in the world do we elect the people, such as our governor and our representatives and our senators, that have the people aren't behind, and we're going, how in the world were they elected?
Oh, and yeah.
The reality, you know what? They probably never were. And we were just blindly walking along going, oh, I guess everybody supported this idea. And I do not believe it's true. I know a lot of Democrats that are good, strong American patriots that would never, ever have sold out to the country of China. And we are... There are true patriots out here, and you got to look at the fact that we are how many days past the election. on this little island out in the middle of nowhere, a pimple as far as America goes, and we stand out here on these streets in a lockdown, and we are still waving flags for the with the American flag and Trump supporters every Friday night between 4 and 6 o'clock. And I just want to tell you, I so appreciate the fact that you guys are out there pushing the word of truth out there, and I love it.
Oh, Ron.
Encouragement that we're not going to lose this. We are not giving up this country to a bunch of cheats. We're just not going to do it. It's not going to happen.
It's a wonderful call, especially coming from Hawaii, because I know that we have there's quite a few people out there in Hawaii that watch this show, and they've been watching for quite a while. And it's one of those things where, of course, yeah, it really is an American frontier in many ways, because it's just this little strip of land, this little archipelago that we call a state that's in the middle of the biggest ocean on the planet. And there you guys are, and like, as you said before, we've been so many people, especially in places like New York and California. I think that if there ever was a plot that was put in place to take these states and really grab them and drag them off course, it's been done so long ago, and it's been buried so deep under whatever kind of criminality has been going on, that after a while you just start, people probably, me too, just start accepting, oh, well, California's a blue state, that's it, it's never coming back. Well, what if it wasn't? And then of course Hawaii, as you may know out there, it's a state that, in as far as the American consciousness goes, probably doesn't have a lot of weight. You know, people aren't probably thinking about Hawaii every day, but to hear this is amazing.
They're not, and we are in our in another lockdown. And I like to point out to the people, go, you know, we can't even go to another island right now. We can't go to the next county because the local mayors of these islands said, no, we've decided that you cannot go to another county without going into lockdown. You're going to go into quarantine. They actually do robocalls into my house on Thanksgiving and said, you cannot have, if you have local, your family that comes to your house, that live in your house, have to wear masks while you're not putting food in your mouth for Thanksgiving. And if anybody comes that is not part of your family, they have to eat outside 6 miles or 6 feet
six
away.
6 miles away.
No, I would imagine. You know, I know he made a mistake there, six feet.
No, but that just sounds funny, six miles.
No, seriously, that's what it feels like. Six miles. Can you imagine? 10 p. Oh man, no, it's serious to hear it. It really is, and I don't know how any group of people, any state, could send a person like Mazie Hirono to represent them in the Senate. Oh my God, what a disgrace! Who's your second senator, by the way?
It is a disgrace, and I've lived 20 years on this island with my family, coming from the mainland, and every time that woman would come up on the mainstream media, my friends from the mainland would go, are you kidding me? What in the world, what type of people live in Hawaii? How in the world could you elect somebody like this? And anymore, I look at the fact and go, like my wife said, I don't think she was ever elected. And now with all this Dominion stuff that's going on, we're going, you know what? Maybe they never were elected. We just thought they were.
Let's put it this way. I don't know if I don't have a crystal ball. I know what I hope happens. But let's say they actually find a way to they find a way to just force this corpse on through. There is no way in hell, they've lost so much, there is no, the only reason why government has any kind of legitimacy is because people believe in the power it wields, and it believes in the legitimacy. It's almost like watching these FDIC loans and everything, like, oh, well, this, what gives a dollar, what gives an American dollar its value? Well, it's the faith that it's actually worth something at this point. And
exactly.
Yeah, and when that faith goes away, where you're like, oh, I don't believe this shit. What if, I mean, you have activated so many people, Democrat, Republican, because you know that even though there are people out there who think, okay, well, something smells fishy, but we seem to be the beneficiaries of this fraud, so let's just let it roll just to get the Trump thing behind us. No, no. Going forward in state elections, people like you, Ron, I know people like you in every state of the union are going to be a lot more vigilant and a lot more involved in local elections now. And I think it's going to get harder and harder for this to go on. No, everybody's faith in everything has been shaken now.
It truly has. There's been an awakening that even I thought I was on the cutting edge of what was going on in the world. And anymore, I'm like, I could not believe how corrupt this country was and the politicians that are in it. And I am so charged up to just continue the fight. This country, this Constitution, I look at it as this is a lady of liberty, and she is going to show her force, and we are going to win. This is our biggest challenge, and we are standing strong with her. And when I look at a blue state like Hawaii and the number of people that will gather and support the Constitution is amazing. It just leaves you going, I cannot believe there are so many people in the state of Hawaii that have supported Trump. There were truck rallies all the time here, and every Friday night they are continually gathering and supporting this president and the Constitution. There is no way they can put this to sleep. The people are not going to take it. I am not going to take it. I am ready, and I will be in Washington, D.C. on the 20th to the inauguration of President Donald Trump, our truly elected and beloved president. We're going to charge on, and we're going to win this country back.
And you're going to travel 6,000 miles or so just to be there for the inauguration.
Amen, brother.
All right. Well, listen, Ron, if you're already gone that far, then come on up to New York and drive by the studio to say hello and honk the horn.
It'll happen.
All right,
it'll
brother. Happen. Well, thank you for this call. This was a wonderful call, Ron. I hope you call in. Hold on. Let me make sure that I have this, have you saved in here. Ron from
Keller, H-E-L-L-E-R, Hawaii.
Ron from Hawaii. There you have it. Ron, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and the wife, and send our best. And you know what? Email me some pictures of the next big patriotic gatherings you have out there. I want to see some of it.
I'll do it. It'll happen.
All right.
See ya.
Take care.
God bless you guys. Thanks.
There you have it. Wow. Hawaii, everybody.
I hear about people, so in Hawaii, in California, you never hear about people in Connecticut.
No. Well, never. No, I think Connecticut has, there's actually, I think that it's, I don't know. I don't know. There are some places where it is just like rotten to the core.
Yeah. And good people, but they just bought into everything.
To the core, man. I don't know, but that was wonderful to come from all the places. Hawaii. I forget who their second senator is. You know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's it.
Maisie. I mean, she's always doing something, saying some stupid thing just to get on.
And she can barely speak too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how that even happens. Let me see here. What TV show or movie did you or have the watch to have the time to watch every Christmas, or doesn't feel like Christmas without it? We have to watch.
Honeymooners.
Well, that's New Year's Eve.
Or, and Christmas.
Oh,
too,
you do Christmas?
Oh yeah, I watch it on Christmas.
Well, this is from Carrie.
Three Stooges.
The Yule Log.
The Yule Log.
I like that.
I guess there's a Christmas story. Mm. This week on the show, or this week after the show. We are going to have a number of things that are going to be playing, a number of specials afterwards. These claymation specials that we found, they're really awesome. Also, you ever see that animated film from like 1983, The Snowman?
Yeah.
No.
That's kind of scary, right?
No.
I have the stuffed
Which
animal.
One? No, oh. it's kind of melancholy. It's magic. It's something I used to love as a child, and it was so magical and great music. But it gets you in the feels, of course, and it also leaves you this little bit of a pit in your stomach. But it's a really, really wonderful story. Then of course there's It's a Wonderful Life.
I do love the Rankin Bass stuff. The Santa Claus is Coming to Town, I think, is my favorite.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's
Burgermeister Meisterburger.
Yeah. Yes. That one will always, that's another one that made me feel weird.
What, the If You Sit on My Lap Today song?
No. I don't forget it. I forget that song. Oh, wow.
A Kiss a Toy is the Price You'll Pay.
Whoa. You see, this is the thing. If I sat down and watched all of these Christmas films, God knows what I would even catch now. Hmm. Weirdness. Oh, let's take a call from Mike from Maryland, Matt's cohort. What's going on, Mike?
My cohort.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Good to have you on, man. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I got a Christmas story, or a Christmas history story. I can't believe no one's pointed this out yet. I keep seeing all this stuff about Washington crossing the Delaware and hoping for a Christmas miracle. I don't know if it's going to happen on Christmas, but one thing that's very telling, I'm not sure that Trump would be telling all of his supporters to come to D.C. this far out if he knew that they might be in danger of something. So I think that in itself is a good sign.
Okay. All right, that's something.
It's just a thought.
No, it is a thought, and it is pretty obvious once you say it.
Yeah.
And that's January 6th, though. So there's 14 days after that. It's two full weeks after January 6th from there till Inauguration Day. So maybe it's, hey, everybody, come on in. Let's just show the world that we're fired up. And then once you all go home, unleash hell. I don't know.
Maybe that's either way. But the fact, I mean, I get it. You know, Battle of Trenton and George Washington, that's all great. But there's a very, you know, some theory with some legs to it that in his previous life, Trump was General Patton.
I've seen
that. Oh, yeah.
You want to compare the election to anything else, it's the Battle of the Bulge. Because it was General Patton who just beat the snot out of the Germans all summer, threw them out of France, and they said, oh, we're going to be in Berlin by Christmas. And maybe, I mean, they could have done it. But December 16th, the Germans launch this surprise assault, take everyone by surprise, steal the victory, essentially. That's what they're trying to do. And there was all sorts of trickery involved and really, like, nastiness. They executed a whole bunch of American unarmed prisoners. And then there were these American-born Germans, spoke with perfect American accents. They put them in American uniforms to sucker more people in. If you ever seen the movie Hearts War, there was all these, like, dirty tricks the Germans were playing.
Hmm.
And everyone said, holy shit, they're going to capture Antwerp. They might even go and capture Paris. We might lose the war after doing so well, or at least have to just sue for peace. And they couldn't do it because there was that one little band of people around Bastogne, which was a big, like a network hub of roads, kind of the same way Gettysburg was. So a really important network hub there. And they just held out. They were told to surrender. And on Christmas Eve, that was when the general, McAuliffe, was there, and he just sent that one-word reply to the German commander, nuts. And the Germans were like, what does this mean? This is nuts. We don't. And the guy was like, it means go to hell. Fuck you.
Oh,
so they,
man,
refused to surrender, hung out, and then, of course, who saved them? It was General Patton. Right out, I think Christmas Day was when they actually broke the siege of Bastogne. Hmm. Came in there, broke the Germans back, and after that point, you know, the writing was on the wall.
You know what, Michael? Let me add a little some more synchronicity to all that. We know that Sun Tzu has been a very important part of the dialogue and of the speculation as to what's going on right now, the battle between Donald Trump and whatever loyal contingent of partners and military men and women that he has on his side, and what they're planning and how they're going to restore or really at least strike that fatal blow to the deep state, the shadow government. And one of the most popular Sun Tzu quotes has everything to do with, you know, biding your time and, of course, allowing enemies to don't disturb enemies while they're destroying themselves and all that. And then, of course, to drop like a thunderbolt from the sky. And Patton, Patton's Thunderbolts. I mean, that was his force, man. That was his force that went on in there and fought and won and broke through and everything you're talking about right there. Patton and his and the Thunderbolt. We actually had a Thunderbolt on the air over here. I interviewed Mr. Civitano Joseph Civitano back I think 2 or 3 years ago. 95 years old at the time, and he was telling his story about the march with Patton and the fighting that they did. And that episode is called Thunderbolts. And so that's pretty interesting right there.
You got to pull up a picture of him, because he looks so much like Trump. I did a side-by-side of them. I made a meme of it, and it's crazy.
Let's see. Trump and Patton. Here we have... wait a second. Let me see. There's a little bit of, I think I have one. I found one over here. Yeah. Oh, wait. That's the one? Yeah, I found it. Wait. Let me see. Here you have. So you put a helmet on Trump,
yeah.
And he's Patton.
Yeah.
Well, and even remember back when you did that episode on General Patton, in the waning days of the war, he was the one dissenting voice saying, no, we need to go attack Russia, like they're not our friends. He was attacked as a conspiracy theorist. Only in hindsight we realize, wow, Patton was actually correct about everything, a lot in the same way that that Trump is
in big
and
ways
on the Sun Tzu stuff. It's like, what's the biggest one, like the whole deception piece, appear weak when you are strong. Has he ever looked weaker at any point, when in reality we know, like we look at what's going on at the Pentagon, it's he's about to hit him, dude. He's about to drop the hammer.
You just made Matt... I actually heard Matt's spirit. Matt actually just... There he is. He's smiling. He's giddy. He's like, I don't have to kill myself. Thank God.
Matt is going to live to be... I mean, God even knows if Trump releases all these like new like, you know, cures and all sorts of medical stuff. Dude, Matt's going to live to be like 500 years old. He's going to be one of the elders.
One of the elders. Oh, God. God willing. Oh, man, what a great story. Thank you for dropping that on us, Mike. I always like these calls.
Absolutely, man. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thanks.
Yes. Merry Christmas. See you soon. Oh, man. Yeah, no. Yeah, well, you know, it's 11:45. No reason to
He's smart, man. He knows. He knows these things.
He knows the stuff. He does. Let's take some more calls, because we only have 15 minutes left. No need to take a break. Bambi, you're on the air. What's going on, Bambi?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Who am I speaking with?
Frank.
Frank. Who is it?
This is Frank.
Oh, it is? Hi, Frank.
Hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm a lot different on the phone. I'm very disappointing. I'm sorry.
No, you sound different tonight. Okay, let's see. I want to talk about Dilly's show and his little sponsor he's got, Cooper & French. Have you bought any yet?
No.
Okay. Here's the deal. Let's see. One of my older boys, he's 34 now. I thought, hey, it'd be cool to have him start shaving, like, you know, old school. Bought him a little brush and a little shaving cream. Bought the Santa's Workshop. Went ahead and, you know what I did? Bought myself some. Today, I shaved my legs with this. And I don't know why women have not used shaving cream like their whole life.
Wait, okay.
Because it's the best thing in the world.
Okay, so you have a shaving cream you really like. That's great.
This is from Dilly. Dilly Show.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Brandon Dilly.
Yeah, oh, I guess. I'm very happy.
Right.
Okay. Well, either way, I'm happy that you have a shaving cream that you enjoy. I use the Aveeno shave cream with the oatmeal. So there you have it. What else do you have on your mind?
Okay, let's see. You want to talk about Trump on, let's see.
No, anything. We can talk about the eight reindeers. January 6th, are you going?
I would love to go.
Okay.
How do I do this?
You just have to
go into Washington, D.C., and then I just get trapped there, or what?
Yeah. Yeah, you get on in there, and you know what you do? You go somewhere right near Capitol Hill. There's a hostel that you'll be able to get a really nice room for cheap there. Thank you for the call, Bambi. There you have it. So there's a hostel in there that Matt and I and Rob, we walked in and walked out.
I heard,
we
yeah.
snuck out.
We snuck out because we were so embarrassed.
Now, where did you get that, Airbnb?
No, I just, I was doing all of this, I was doing all of these, whatchamacallits, internet searches for things in the area, and I, just like I said, my brain did not see the S in hostel, and I just saw something something hotel, and it was a really great price. So guys, we lucked out, because I booked it like 2 days before the walkaway march.
Okay.
And we got there, and it was just like, I don't know. If we would have gone to sleep there, we would have woken up with kidneys missing.
Was it like a bunch of bunk beds or something?
Bunk beds.
A bunch of them in one room?
Stained bunk beds.
Oh.
Yes. No, our room that we had, it was a barracks, and we walked into the room.
Stains on the sheets. Fucking sock under the bed with an empty bottle of soda.
Somebody left a sock behind. Somebody's left the sock. I hope all the women out there with hairy legs are shaving tonight.
I use conditioner.
Okay.
While we're talking about that.
Okay, so there you have it. That's the that. Thank you, Bambi. She brought a lot of much needed attention to the state of our legs.
I bet Brandon's happy that his that's his, he's a sponsor. This is
I guess. Okay. I guess.
Shouldn't name it, but
let's go to. Oh, actually, you know what? Let me go to the super chats because I do not want to miss those. Probably a couple have flown in on here. Here we have it. The 19th. That's today, right? Citizen Chuck says George S. Patton died on December 21st, 1945. Donald Trump was born on June 14th, 1946. I like the theory. So maybe he just waited in limbo for a couple of months and said, "All right, this is the body. I'm going into this body."
Well, no, he was in the gestation.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And technically, that means George Patton is a time traveler, too. Because Trump's a time traveler, and if Trump is Patton...
I like it.
If Patton's with us, who could be against us? Citizen Chuck also says, I don't recall where I read this, but the Founding Fathers had a strong belief in the plurality of worlds. So ETs were probably not out of the question. And you know about the report that while at Valley Forge, George Washington had an angelic visitation. Yes, I'm going to be talking about that next week. It's all part of another show that I love doing, or at least a segment I love doing this time of year, O Night Divine. And it's about Washington's prayer session in the woods. So that is another thing there. And we had a couple of founding fathers that were deists, that believed in a creator, but also did not put any stock in miracles. They thought that there was a scientific explanation for all things. So I would have to imagine that the idea of life existing outside of our planet, maybe, or outside of this dimension, this frequency of light, if they knew anything about frequency and light back then, I don't know. But still, yeah, they were smart guys. I'm sure that they pondered whether or not this was all there was, and if we were all there was. Here is another one from Mike Hunt 1. Says, nothing to say, man. Well, thank you. Said enough, Mike. Mm. Thank you so much for everything. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anthony, how you feeling over there?
Good. This is a good cocktail.
It's very, very tasty. It really is.
It's refreshing.
It is. I like it a lot.
It is good.
Obviously, I'm nursing it like I nurse everything, but that's just because I have something to. I have a job to do over here.
Listen, are these cranberries?
They are cranberries.
I can just eat
I've never,
them?
Yeah, I've never had cranberries without, you know, being prepared before. They're
ooh, a little bitter.
Yeah, they're not they're not like they're a little weird. Like, I mean, you know, they're
not jellied with sugar.
Little right. Tart. Little tart.
Yeah, you would think that they look like they're like grapes or something. They're as like refreshing as grapes.
Well, now they're you know, soaking up all of the liquid there. Hey, view askewed. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Frankie. What's up, Dirty Boys and Sherry?
See, we've got three of the Dirty Boys are here
dirty
tonight.
Boys.
The fourth Dirty Boys is with family, but Sherry is.
I'll be a Dirty
in.
Boy. I don't mind.
She's a Dirty Boy tonight.
Thank you.
Ah, that's cool. Hey, if I might, I just want to add one thing to your little conversation with Michael from Maryland.
Please.
You know, I know you watch out for the Q posts and all that stuff. And Q has also said symbolism will be their downfall, correct?
I've seen that plenty of times, yeah.
Yeah, all right, Matt, take another chill pill, Matt. Crossing the Delaware on December, or Christmas Eve, I'm sorry.
24th, yeah.
Well, where did Joe Biden, where was he a senator from?
Delaware.
There you go.
So there's more of that. Crossing the Delaware, you have to cross Joe Biden.
Well, yeah, and that's their symbolism, that there's so much. I mean, I know you said something about the other night that you were watching or listening to Rogue News with Juan O'Savin and everything, and how he talks about, you know, breaking the numbers and stuff like that.
He's my favorite.
I listened to him again the other night. Yeah, and View. He was that latest video he did that we played once again this week after the show. We went really deeply into numbers and symbolism and just how it's another aspect of, we talk about the occult a lot. And how maybe a lot of the conversations we have would make a normie go, what the hell is this nonsense? Well, it's nonsense to a lot of normies, but you want to know who takes this shit seriously, especially down to all the numbers, and we see these patterns building all over the place. It's the people that are out there, and they have their hands on the levers of power. They take this shit seriously.
Oh, you're damn right they do.
Juan O'Savin was big on that.
I actually started my own channel, Frank. So, and I've actually gotten into a lot of this gematria stuff. So, it's just a small channel, but I'm just letting you know. I don't need to throw it out there or anything.
Let everybody know what the name of the channel is.
Well, it's View as Cued, but
okay. Well, they have it.
View Askewed,
of course.
View Askewed. Well, you're well recognized in the chat rooms and the Discord and everything. I'm sure it'll come up in conversation and people will find you there. And I appreciate the call. It's always good to get calls from you over the years, man. And enjoy your night.
All right, take care, friends.
Be well. There you go. Another one for you, Matt. Delaware. So fear not. Fear not. What else do I have? If you could have one Christmas wish of truth about any conspiracy or mystery, what would it be? Says Chandler Folsom on Patreon. If you could, so as a Christmas wish, you would have the truth of any one conspiracy laid out bare for you. What would it be?
That's easy.
What?
I want to know what the fucking real fucking electoral vote fucking count was.
Right now, I guess that'd be interesting. But you know, here's something that I guess would be something to consider. Is that revelation going to be only something that you enjoy? Or is it going to be something that you're making a wish for this conspiracy to be revealed to the world in an undeniable way? Because if that is the case, that would have some merit right now. It would do you no good.
We already know that.
Yeah,
you know, we already know a lot of...
I know, but I want people to see it.
Yeah, if it's revealed to everybody.
People are saying JFK and JFK Jr.,
yeah.
Free energy in the chat room, Rise Attire. What's going on there, Rise?
How about coronavirus?
That could be a one. Let's see what else people are saying. Building 7, so pretty much 9/11. Moon landing. Well, let's see what else are people are saying. A lot of 9/11s in there.
Titanic.
Oh, Titanic would be another. We have a couple of things on the Titanic coming out on the site over the next couple of months. Not only that, but a few things on the Wizard of Oz as well. We wanted to start doing there too. A lot of JFK, a lot of JFK Jr. Definitely free energy that keeps popping up. Voter fraud.
Aryans.
Aliens, I guess, a cancer cure. Albert Frederick says space is fake, so he doesn't even care about the moon landing. There is no moon.
Albert.
The Anunnaki. What else are people saying? Flat Earth. They want once and for all, is the Earth flat? Titanic, Rockefellers, fossil fuels, Biden's clone. That's what people in the chat rooms are saying right now. Roswell, Benghazi. I think the big thing here is if anybody was posed with this opportunity to get that kind of information out, you would have to have it be something so monumental that you actually change the course of the planet.
Communists in the government.
Maybe. But who's behind that? Like, how far up the chain can you go to take...
Yeah.
I don't know. Nunny stuff.
So Somerset Belanoff, then.
If
she's the top of the Illuminati.
Going back even farther than that, who built the pyramids? Is that just saying, just said on the D-Live, I saw that scroll past.
Which conspiracy really would make a difference to us all if it wasn't...
Well, first of all, if you talk about who built the pyramids, or as Dirt Doll said in the YouTube right now, Atlantis, things like that, I think that as we were listening to on the late night, maybe 2 weeks ago at this point, when Graham Hancock was talking to Art Bell, and when he talks to anybody about fingerprints of the gods kind of stuff there too, whether or not there was a lost chapter of our species, a lost civilization with lost technologies that was expunged from our retelling of our history in a very serious way, and what is revealed to us about our nature when you take away maybe how advanced we could have been thousands of years ago, and another reset button that was pressed. We've gone through several resets, mm-hmm. You know. So something like that could hold unbelievable amounts of value, but are we strong enough right now to accept something like that, or even able to conceive of something like that? I mean, think about this.
Yeah.
I keep bringing it up. Over the summer, when it was reported on places like Tucker Carlson's show, that not only are UFOs a thing that are still very highly investigated by the government, but that they have confirmation that some of these vehicles originate off of the planet. That almost made no splash, no dent, not even a ripple in the public consciousness of things. So it's just like to even be told that, yes, Atlantis was a place, and yes, we had space age technology thousands of years ago, and something happened, and blah, 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 and what does this teach us about ourselves and consciousness and this and that? Would we even be able to perceive the magnitude of that when we don't even give a shit about UFO news anymore? I don't know.
Did anyone else report on it but Tucker? Was it on other channels that weren't Fox?
Well, I think so. I mean, as far as the internet picked up these interviews and went around with them, but as far as the other channels and shit, back in December 2017, when we had all those first revelations about the Tic Tac incident and Oumuamua and stuff, that was reported on by the Washington Post, the New York Times. Like, everybody jumped on it, and they were reporting on it seriously. So the UFO thing. And the idea of, you know, hinting at alien life and extraterrestrial life, that has been something that's been co-opted by the media for at least the last 3 years now.
But there is also such a dumbed-down public that I bet that if you asked the average, like, rioter or whatever, if they thought there were aliens, they'd probably say yes anyway because they saw them on TV.
Maybe. Oh, man, there's just so much here. Well, you know what? Before we take off, because it's time to skedaddle, it's 12 midnight, so it is officially the 20th. Tomorrow's the first day. Is tomorrow the solstice or today?
The 21st? 21st is the solstice.
The 21st.
Is it always?
Always.
Always the 21st. But for some reason, I feel like the summer solstice is never a set thing.
Yes, it is.
It is?
June 21st, I think, is the summer solstice.
So then it's the equinox.
So
what
you
the hell?
Can balance the egg. You know where you go on the sidewalk and you balance an egg? Have you ever done that?
No.
Like, I forget what time it is. There's a time of day on the, I think it's the spring and the fall, equinox where you can put an egg out and it balances, something like that.
It would have to be either equinox if you think about it.
Spring and fall, though, not summer and winter.
Okay. Well, either way, we're knocking on the door of winter officially now. That'll stick around for a while, a dark winter, perhaps. But I don't know.
That means winter's almost over, bro.
We're burning bright.
The sun starts to stay up one more minute every day after the 21st.
Right. Well, it's only 60 seconds. It takes a little time before that started getting felt.
Every mickle makes a muckle.
What?
That's true. That's true. Okay, so the next couple of weeks, what's your greatest wishes? Christmas, New Year's wish, what is it?
Trump is declared winner.
Arrests.
That arrests.
And executions.
Ant, what do you want from life over the next couple of weeks?
Health, happiness.
Yes.
Oh, well, all that too.
Well, yeah, that's the basis.
Justice and happiness.
The pursuit of it all. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a wonderful little evening with you all. I'm glad that we were able to do this. I had as a backup tonight, if we needed something, if things went really dark and morose for some reason, I had as a backup, I always had this as a backup, the 13 naughtiest bits from the massage lawsuit against John Travolta. You ever read these?
No.
This is so, it never gets old. Because, of course, he was sexually harassing the male masseuse.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of the things that were inside the lawsuit are unbelievable.
Really?
Oh, it's so hilarious. It's so hilarious.
Just do one of them. Say one of them.
Okay. Wait a second. Let me see here. Let me just do one. This is my funniest. The funniest one, I think. All right, here's number 5. Defendant then sat up on the table and asked plaintiff to switch places and do a reverse massage. So he's pretty much telling the masseuse, hey, you know what? Why don't you lay down? Wait. We will do this another night for sure. We will do this another night. He says, plaintiff told defendant that a masseur lying on the table was unlawful and inappropriate. And then the defendant said, come on, dude, I'll jerk you off. Now,
that's one way to broach the subject.
Oh, and I love when he keeps getting rejected by the massage therapist. He starts calling him he said something like, suck my cock, you selfish pig. He said something like that.
What?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, no, yeah, but no, this is the listen, this one is the funniest one because the way that it is
say it.
Written. Hold on. Ready?
Tell us.
Hold on, lumbering. Where's the one where he says he's lumbering?
Lumbering?
The plaintiff told defendant to get dressed or plaintiff was going to call the police. Okay, so now the massage therapist is saying, get dressed or calling the police. Strangely, defendant's penis was still semi-erect and he had to struggle to get it back into his underwear and jeans since he pulled... Oh, wait, no, that's not the one I wanted. Wait, hold on. The lumbering one. Wait. This is so funny. Oh, here it is. Okay, so this is after John Travolta told the massage therapist, say something nice to me. He says this, plaintiff moved away from defendant, who then lumbered to his feet and began moving toward plaintiff with erect penis bouncing around with stride. So when I read this for the first time, I thought of John Travolta, a naked John Travolta walking like Frankenstein toward this massage therapist that just wants to get the hell out of the room at this point, and it's bouncing around with stride. Oh, my God. No, but the other things in this is ridiculous. We'll do this some other time. I only did 3 out of 13. When he talks about, he pretty much tells the massage therapist, this is how I got the job with Welcome Back, Kotter. He said you have to do this to get jobs in the industry. He's like, I had to blow guys to get the job with Welcome Back, Kotter. I mean,
wow, that's a lot of sharing.
Oh yeah. No. If you ever want something to cheer you up and make you, you have to read those bits there. Oh my God,
that sounds wonderful.
Oh, it's written in
is
such.
Is there audio of it?
I don't know. No. This is all testimony from the massage therapist. Which, of course, I believe 100%.
Yeah, You always believe the person accusing someone of something right off the bat. You automatically believe them.
I love the dirty talk, though. Like, he's gonna change his tactic and just tell the guy to command him.
Say, how would you, how will you lay down? I'm really good at massages. Oh, man, I wonder if he was wearing his wig that day. What wig he was wearing. Which wig do you think he was wearing that day?
Danny Zuko.
The Danny Zuko wig? he shows up with a T-Birds jacket on still? Oh, God. All right. Well, this is a nice way to end the Christmas show, but we have more Christmas shows to get the taste of this one out of our mouths. Don't worry. Don't worry. Monday night, we'll see you again. And Sherry and Anthony and Matt, this has been a wonderful little ride with you all. Thank you, guys.
Have a great night, everybody.
Bye. Thank you. Everybody, good night.
Merry Christmas. Night.
We'll see you soon. And take care. Be nice to each other.